Welcome to the Pivotal Decisions podcast, where we know that the decisions you make today determine your tomorrow. I'm your host, Stan Paris, and I'm grateful to have you tuning in on this episode of Pivotal Decisions. If you find the podcast helpful, a blessing, valuable in any way, I hope you'll share it with your friends and family. And one way that you could help out the Pivotal Decisions podcast is to subscribe to the Pivotal Decisions YouTube channel, where you can find this podcast and all the other podcast content. And all you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Pivotal Decisions Podcast. You'll find the podcast there. Hit the subscribe button, and you're good to go. There's no cost. You're not signing up for anything other than you are subscribing to the podcast, and that is very helpful. Images streaming out of Western North Carolina and East Tennessee and other places have evoked sorrow, compassion, and lots of questions. Most people find it difficult to process the sheer destruction of the flooding. You see images of entire towns completely gone. You hear testimonies of a young boy ripped from the arms of his mother and perished in the floodwaters. And the infrastructure, the roads, the water systems that have been destroyed and will take months, if not years, to fix seems unfathomable in modern-day America. Disaster creates not only crisis, but also questions. Richard Dawkins said, "Human life is nothing more than a way for selfish genes to multiply and reproduce." He would conclude that life is both random and meaningless when applied to natural disasters. The atheist must conclude it's just nature. Too bad. In his play, J.B. Archibald MacLeish writes through the main character, "If God is God, he is not good. If God is good, he is not God. Take the even, take the odd." That's the whole case against God. If God is all-powerful and could have stopped this suffering but didn't, then he isn't good. And if he is good and wants to stop this suffering, it must mean that he lacks power. Either way, people say, "I don't want to believe in a God like that," and so they don't. What are we to make of a disaster like we are witnessing right now with the impact of Hurricane Helene? As Christians with a biblical worldview, how do we process what we're seeing and hearing from these impacted areas? The godliest of believers have sometimes wondered about the ways of God. In Judges chapter 6 in the Old Testament, the Bible says, "Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?'" Gideon asked the question thousands of years ago, and we've been asking it ever since. Why? When life hits hard, when there is some type of pain, it plunges us into a sea of questions. Well, on this episode, I want to give just a few points to consider to help us try and process these type of events. I certainly cannot answer in one episode of Pivotal Decisions, why is there suffering in the world? Why is there evil in the world? Why does God allow hurricanes? I can't answer all of your questions and solve this great, deep theological problem. I just want to give you a few points to think about to try to help you in these type of moments with these kinds of questions. So first, we need to remind ourselves that we live in a broken world. Every natural disaster reminds us that we live in a broken, fallen world. Some of its brokenness comes from the fall of creation. However, sometimes its causes are the contribution that we all make to the world. We are all sinful people that contribute to the brokenness. Since sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, creation itself has been affected. Natural disasters are part of living in a fallen, broken world. I heard it put like this: we live in a broken world, and no one in this world is untouched by its brokenness. Every one of us who are the least bit introspective has looked at our own lives and thought or said, this can't be the way it's supposed to be. This is not how God meant for us to live. We live in a broken world that produces hurricanes and floods and cancer and pain and suffering and evil. In much the same way that God allows evil people to commit evil acts, God allows the earth to reflect the consequences sin has had on creation. It is a broken world. In fact, in Romans 8 in the New Testament, it tells us that everything in creation is subject to frustration and decay. And so this means that not every natural disaster is a punishment from God. It's a reflection of a broken world. This is a reminder that we see only part of the picture. We see the devastation of the flood, but we're only seeing one piece of the bigger picture. We only see a few pieces of the puzzle. God already has the puzzle completed. We only see a portion of the picture. One thing we don't see is how many natural disasters God does prevent. In a broken world where creation is filled with frustration and decay, how many disasters does God prevent? God is always in control of the world, even amid the chaos of a natural disaster. The Bible says that Jesus Christ holds all of nature together. Could God prevent natural disasters? Absolutely. We have no way of knowing how many disasters God has prevented. Because, well, they didn't happen. But just like that day, when they crucified Jesus, it looked bad. Jesus, the Son of God, was dead on a cross. It seemed like that Satan and evil had won. It seemed like there was no hope, nothing but despair. On the second day, it was even worse. Nothing changed. It was a dark time. It seemed hopeless, and God was silent. It was Silent Saturday. But on the third day, the Son of God stepped out of the grave alive. It might seem like in the midst of a storm that we are stuck in day two. No hope, and God is silent. But don't give up. Don't run from God. He will get you through day one and through day two, and by day three, he will raise the dead. We only see part of the picture. So first, I want to remind you that we live in a broken world, and an event of this magnitude is a reminder of the consequences of that brokenness. Second, this disaster is a reminder that human beings have limitations. Even with all of the available technology, the massive flooding and destruction could not be stopped. The technology failed in the midst of the storm. Basically, all communication was cut off. No phones, no power, no TV, no social media connection. And for many people, they had no water. Some still don't, days after the storm. And despite all of our advanced systems, planning, and equipment, we still could not prevent the devastation. Reminding us of our limitations. We are not God. We don't have that kind of power. We need God and His provisions for us. Let me share with you a lie that I hear all the time. I hear people say, God will never put on you more than you can handle. That is a complete lie. a complete fabrication. All of life is more than we can handle, and these moments remind us of our human limitations and our need for God. One of the clear truths that we should be aware of in these moments is our own mortality. Life will come to an end, and sometimes in an unexpected time, an unexpected way. Life is unpredictable, and it's uncertain. We wake up each morning thinking we know how the day will go, yet natural disasters remind us that we actually cannot predict even the next hour of our lives. God, however, is never surprised. And so in our human limitations, we look to a God that promises nothing happens randomly in life. So everything has a purpose, and somehow it all works together for good for those who love Him. This disaster reminds us that human beings have limitations. Third, natural disasters often mobilize the global church to show the love of Christ through acts of compassion and charity and service, revealing the heart of God to those people that are hurting and in need. This is the opportunity for the church to be the hands and feet of Christ. I've said this multiple times over the last few days in the midst of this great tragedy. It is a tragedy, but it's also an open door to show a culture that often believes evangelical Christians are filled with hate. This is the opportunity to show that we do care, that our faith is more than words. A disaster opens the door to show this love in a practical way. I can tell you from seeing the area and what was going on in Western North Carolina that the help was coming from neighbors helping neighbors and churches stepping up and serving and meeting needs. What a blessing it was to see so many churches working together to meet needs. The body of Christ truly was being the salt and light of the earth in the midst of this tragedy. And if I were you, I certainly would not depend on the government for help in these situations. It was neighbors helping neighbors and churches stepping up and providing resources, being the body of Christ. Right now is the opportunity for you to love your neighbor. There are a number of ways you can financially support those that have been impacted by the hurricane. You can give through our church here at Franklin Heights Church, and it will all be used to help people that have been impacted by the flooding. Or I would suggest giving to an organization like Send Relief, where I have confidence in telling you it will be used the right way. Today's episode of Pivotal Decisions certainly doesn't answer all of your questions, and that was not my goal. But I do hope it will help you move deeper in your faith and trust God, who is sovereign and who loves us in Christ. God is good and faithful and worthy of our full commitment. Let's be sure that we keep praying for all those who've been impacted by the hurricane and flooding. And let's help each other in this time of need. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you'll share this podcast with your friends and family and let them know about Pivotal Decisions. Subscribe to the Pivotal Decisions podcast on the YouTube channel, and that would be great. And always remember, until next time, the decisions you make today determine your tomorrow.